Okay, I hear. How's this for the best of both worlds? You get a room in a hotel with a tent in the middle.
There's no point then, because in a tent you smell fresh air. And then...
Well, it combines the best of both worlds, and then maybe I pour some grasshoppers in the tent with you.
You can do that, but I definitely am not.
I'm Samantha Brown, and you're listening to the Nature Stories podcast, curated by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. This week, more from Stories from the Heart of the Land, a new public radio series which considers the connection between people and the natural world. Here's series host Jay Allison.
Jonathan Goldstein doesn't have a lot of memories of nature. His relationship to the land is marked by a certain degree of fear, or at least suspicion. He was raised to think of the natural world as something to be avoided or reckoned with. If you dare go out into it, you'd better be prepared for trouble.
Okay, let's go through some of the things that you have here.
We have the flashlight. I have two books. We have a hammer to set up the tent. I have my overnight bag, like my toothbrush and all that. I have a pair of tights in case...
What you're hearing is not the sound of a man and his daughter stalking a fallout shelter.
My fluffy socks and a camera.
Arizona and I are merely going camping.
Yeah, I don't know that there's enough room.
Oh, there'll be enough room.
Arizona is my 11-year-old.
Don't worry.
And we're in the midst of preparing for a night in the wilderness. Or at least a campsite adjacent to the wilderness.
We have one Tropicana orange juice with calcium.
That's right. One single night.
We have Nutella.
I was raised with a high regard for preparedness. Just in case is how my family and I punctuate a great many of our sentences. Preparedness is a value that I try to pass on to Arizona.
Hey, Arizona, did you put the knife in there for the bagels? Cream cheese in there?
On the other hand, a value that I will have a harder time passing on to Arizona.
It would be cool if we saw a wolf, but...
is a love of nature.
I could live without seeing a wolf.
Nature was always just something for other people. Other families. Growing up, we didn't even have real plants in the house, always favoring the plastic kind. Watering, picking up dead leaves, strictly for suckers. The closest we came to nature was the stuff in the refrigerator crisper. I remember as a kid being told we had an eggplant in the fridge. Excitedly opening the fridge door, I expected to see whole white eggs hanging from thin, droopy branches. But Arizona's a different story.
The crow's my favorite animal.
She loves the outdoors. She gets
like,
nature.
Like, rabbits are cute.
We have photo albums full of pictures of her at her friends' country houses, wearing knee-high rubber boots in marshes.
You see, like, these little teeny baby toes? They're like...
Her hands full of beetles or bushels of wild flowers.
I had also found a newt. Teeny wee little head. It was really cute, though.
And lately, she's been wanting to go camping.
Oh, we should bring some campfire songs.
So being the nice guy that I am, I agreed to take her.
Let me just take a look at the instructions.
But it wasn't going to be like some personal essay in Field & Stream magazine.
And away we go. We're off. What are you most nervous about with the trip?
Is that the fire's not going to light? What are you most worried about?
Yeah, I'm most worried about not being able to make the fire, not being able to cook the hot dogs, not being able to put up the tent. And
so, in other words, you're afraid that we're not going to be able to do anything. Is that it?
Pretty much. I was a basket case.
How many times have you gone camping before?
Twice.
When I was a kid, I was instructed to never pick up anything I found on the ground. Coins, bus tickets, nothing. Because in the words of my mother, someone could have peed on it.
Is that an entrance?
While Arizona was imagining trees and wildlife, all I was imagining was one big urinal.
All right, here we are, pulling into Oka Park Campground.
Yep.
Boy, we're right in the thick of it, eh?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. All the trees.
What number are we?
Wildlife, nature, shrubs, greenery, leaves.
To all the world, I was a dad taking his daughter on a routine camping trip.
Home sweet home.
We are here, folks.
Oh, look, we got a picnic bench.
Let's just not take anything else out until we have our tent ready, okay?
Arizona sounded like she really knew what she was talking about.
Don't put that here.
And since it's in my nature to respect authority...
Put them up like that?
I found myself letting her take charge of the operation.
So tent first? That's what you're saying? All right, okay, fine.
Although I couldn't help but offer some suggestions.
Take some thought where you want to put it.
Right here.
Oh, no, not on the dirt. Listen to what I just said. Oh, man. Okay, step one. Unpack the tent bag and separate the contents. Assemble the shock corded frame.
Keep going. Okay, wait, calm down. Okay, wait, keep going.
I'm lost.
Keep going. It's gonna have to turn at one point.
Who are you? Is this step four?
I have no idea, but it's one of the steps.
You know, I never got to do any of this kind of stuff with my dad.
Arizona tends to block me out when I go into sentimental old man mode, talking about my dad and stuff like that.
There's a black squirrel in the middle of eating a pine cone.
But as for the natural world, my father always maintained that he liked nature. But what he really meant was that he liked watching nature. Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, to be exact. That was pretty much how he liked his wild. Neatly framed by a 21-inch TV screen. In that way, he was king of the Wild Kingdom.
Man, okay, this is way further than I ever thought we'd be able to get, frankly.
I've been carrying around with me all day a palpable terror that because of my own incompetence, Arizona and I could end up sleeping under a picnic table, balled up like hedgehogs.
I just like break up some twigs now.
Do we need something to like poke around with?
I set the newspaper on fire and I put a match right on top of the pine needles.
I know this sounds crazy.
Careful, careful.
But I just felt so relieved on such a primordial level that we had a fire.
It's amazing we might end up eating hot dogs for dinner.
That my kid was being fed. That we had shelter for the evening. I actually felt high.
That is really good. Okay, stop licking your arm. You got bug spray on it. Oh my god, okay, hang on. How is it?
Good.
Normally, eating hot dogs makes me feel guilty. But eating a hot dog in the great outdoors felt necessary. Like an imperative. A necessity for survival.
Man, this is well earned, huh?
Uh-huh.
Isn't this the life? There's nothing like a meal that you made yourself in the outdoors, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We've accomplished all of our goals. Tent, fire, hot dogs.
Our fire's out.
Okay, maybe I was getting a little cocky. But it was time to get some shut-eye anyhow. And having the fire go out saved me the job of having to pour out our bottled water supply to extinguish it. This was something I was starting to learn in the wild. You had to roll with things. That's how the animal kingdom did it. A beaver comes home to find his dam destroyed. Time to get some shut-eye. A falcon comes home and finds his nest has been robbed of its eggs. Time to get some shut-eye.
I think you're supposed to take your shoes off before you go in. Just not to track mud in and stuff like that.
There's already dirt in it, so I don't know.
No, there's no dirt in it.
Yeah, well, what's that?
I knew this for a fact because I'd plucked up every little twig and each bit of dirt from inside the tent like a human dustbuster.
Oh, this is the life. This is the only life for me. It's the only life I've ever really known.
You could never go 6 days without, I mean 7 days without watching TV.
Do you think that's what would be hardest for me, sleeping in a tent for 7 days, would just be the lack of TV? You think if they threw a TV into the sleeping bag, then I'd be fine?
Bing!
It's untied.
No. Oh, this is really soft toilet paper.
It's a little touch of civilization, huh? Makes you lonesome for home? How many days do you think you could stay out here?
I don't know.
I could probably stay out here, you know.
Bing!
For another day and a half or so.
Do you think if you live in the outdoors your whole life, you could find your own food?
You mean without like going to the grocery store?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You think?
Uh-uh.
Go through people's trash?
Well, I feel like Indians. If you went back to the past, you'd think you could do it.
Oh. What do you think?
No.
We were talking, exchanging ideas. Well, at least we were getting a chance to just hang out, doing something real together.
In case I fall asleep, all right? You're in charge, okay?
Living instead of just watching people living on TV. And that's what I was enjoying the most.
Okay, but if you fall asleep, I'll wake you up.
Okay, but good night.
For me, the pleasure of going camping has been equal parts what's in the woods, alongside of what isn't. The ringing phones, the sound of traffic, the obligation of constant emails. And once you get rid of all that stuff, what you're left with is just being, spending time. And I love spending time with Arizona.
Wow, it is so dark. Okay, let's step outside. We gotta take a look at the sky. Come on.
There won't be that many stars out. They come out around like 11 or 10.
Is that true? I thought they come out like when it's dark, and it's so dark.
Man,
I'm going to want to come back here. I like it here. You?
Maybe next time with veggie dogs instead of the regular kind. We would have to do it again. I meant it. At least until the next morning, as we were packing up the tent.
The guy long legs lost. It's his front small leg, and his back big leg.
What, do you think he's missing a leg?
He only has six legs.
Okay, but don't. I think he could bite you, though.
He won't bite me. It's a daddy long legs.
Yeah, but don't they bite?
No.
That's Jonathan Goldstein and his daughter, Arizona, camping near their home in Montreal.
You really care about the wild, eh? You're a friend to man and beast alike, right down to the last daddy long legs.
Move. I gotta pick it up.
A second camping trip is in the cards, but they haven't set a date.
We all live in a yellow submarine. Yellow submarine. Yellow submarine.
Jonathan told us Arizona recently went tracking for beaver and fell into a beaver lodge. He wasn't along. She was with her grandmother.
Sky of blue.
Sky of blue.
And sea of green.
Sea of green. In our yellow. In our yellow.
Submarine.
Submarine. Uh-huh.
We all live in a yellow submarine. A yellow submarine. A yellow submarine.
To learn more about this piece, go to nature.org/heart. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, committed to protecting nature and preserving life, and is funded by Visa. Our music is composed and performed by Bill Frizzell. Join me next week to hear a portrait of pioneering river activist Mark Dubois. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown.
Yeehaw!